Welcome to David Clark's We Are Superman podcast, episode number 296. I am your host, Bill Stahl. Well, hey, I've been on quite the roller coaster here in the last week or so. On the plus side, I was up in St. Paul, Minnesota, watching the University of Denver hockey team. As many of you know, I'm a big follower of. They won the national championship, becoming the first team in NCAA history to win 10 national titles. They beat Boston University in the semifinal game in overtime, 2-1. And in the final, they beat the number one ranked team in the country, Boston College, 2-0. Team had never been shut out before this year with an offensive juggernaut, and DU shut them down. Their goalie, Matt Davis, made one of the most incredible saves you will ever see in a clutch game. And in the end, like I say, shut them out. He was just outstanding, gave up 3 goals the entire NCAA tournament, 4 games. In fact, in postseason play, he only gave up 10 goals in 8 games. So just an incredible performance by the entire University of Denver team. Coach David Carl has won his second title in 3 years, and he's still the second youngest coach in all of NCAA hockey. He's started coaching literally when he was in his teens. And I'm actually working on trying to get David Carl onto this podcast here to talk about his comeback from a heart condition that forced him to retire as a player, but he has really stood out as a coach. So we had just a ton of fun up in St. Paul, just lots and lots of college hockey fans. It's always a great time. It's the fourth time I've been to the Frozen Four in the last 6 years, because DU has been there all those times. And third time I've seen them win a championship, 2017, 2022, 2024. So, you know, great time up there. So, and I also got together with one of my former athletes who I hadn't seen in 17 years, Marty, who lives in La Crosse, Wisconsin now. So kind of fun getting together with him again as well while I was up there. That was the positive. On the downside, came back to in Denver, we had a major wind event. We had like an entire day of 100-mile-an-hour wind. It was just insane. In fact, I went to the Rockies game that evening, and like pop-ups to the third base were getting caught by the first baseman. It was pretty bad, but I got home, and I thought, boy, my neighbor's tree's never been this close to my driveway before. And then I got out of the car and realized his 50-foot pine had blown over and uprooted. It was just an incredible sight. And I looked out my own backyard, and things looked pretty good, and went to bed, and woke up in the morning, started cleaning up some stuff, you know, other branches that were down. Then I looked up and suddenly realized there was a 70-foot pine of my own that had fallen down onto the wires that are between my house and my neighbor behind me's house, just sitting on the wires. So I realized, you know, those wires probably weren't going to hold. So I got in a little bit of scramble mode, trying to start to cut away any weight off of, you know, the branches off of there. Before I could get started, the tree broke through the wires, started a fire. The fire department had to come out. I was at the hardware store at the time buying a new pair of loppers, because my loppers had broken during the last snowstorm we had a few weeks before that, the 2 feet of snow. And so my neighbors were all texting me, telling me the fire department was out putting out the fire. So fortunately, they got to that, thankfully, very quickly. And then but then the power was out. And for the second time in a month, I had extended days without power. Ended up, the only way I could survive in my house was with the gas fireplace on, putting a sleeping bag in front of the fireplace and 3 cats on me. And while the temperature in the house was about 55 degrees, that's pretty much how I survived. And I can tell you now, indoor camping is definitely overrated. It was quite the time there, and having to do it twice in a month was really not much fun. But in any case, I've spent a good portion of the last 2 weeks since that windstorm with a chainsaw, cutting up a lot of wood. So, you know, I've got some huge, huge logs right now that have been cut. You know, the bulk of the work has been done. If you need some firewood, let me know. So that's kind of been the downside of things there. So a little bit of each, but appreciate you joining me here on this podcast. Jack Rubelcave and I are at the end of our now four-part summation of our amazing trip to Asia this past fall. I hope you've gotten a lot out of hearing about our adventures, and that we have helped inspire you to go explore the world yourself. As you've been hearing, we encountered so many unexpected experiences, but they were almost all positive. The terror of driving scooters through the chaotic streets of Bali. You may have heard about all the nice and polite people in the bustling cities of Japan. How different the toilets. Yes, the toilets were there. The vending machines on the streets that served up everything from cold food to hot food to fresh squeezed orange juice. The night markets in Seoul and Taipei with really, really strange food. Things like deboned chicken claws. things we learned at the DMZ that divides North and South Korea, which is a really fascinating trip. Checking into a hotel where bringing in a fruit called the durian is banned, just like hotels ban smoking. They ban durians, which we didn't know anything about. We found out about. The jaw-dropping beauty of the Buddhist temples in Bangkok, and where they also have poisonous water monitors casually roaming in a city park, a busy park. It was just kind of crazy in Bangkok. The food, the culture, and so much more. It was crazy how these mostly first world countries could be so different from the U.S. And in this final episode, Jack and I chat about one of our last stops in Singapore, which is a beautiful modern city that is very culturally diverse with areas known as Arab Street, Little India, and Chinatown, and all mixed with their heritage as a one-time British colony. They're known for their strict laws and resulting very low crime rate, where you can be arrested there for throwing your gum on the sidewalk, and you can be fined $10,000 for feeding pigeons. Yet, prostitution is legal. Go figure. So finally, Jack and I, in this episode, share with you how we pulled off this 3.5-week-long trip with 13 flights between 7 countries for less than $1,000. Yep. And we brought only a backpack each. So stick around towards the end of the episode. We'll share our tips with you how we accomplished that. So I hope you enjoy this adventure as well as the previous three. Go back and check those out if you'd like, where we covered the other countries we visited in Asia, including Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, Bali, Indonesia, and now Singapore. So And then just to let you know, upcoming, I'm going to update you on the extreme mountaineering trip I took to Chile this spring. That'll be a lot of fun as well. Hey, before we get into this, I just wanted to mention a couple of quick things. I've had 3 conversations in the last couple of weeks with 20-somethings who have been dealing with mental health issues. And I'm really proud of them. They've been able to find solutions. It seems to be more and more prevalent all the time out there. These 3 individuals have, through everything from counseling to even medications, have been finding better solutions to put themselves on a more positive path. And, you know, I know David Clark used to talk all the time about, you know, with his experience in the addiction world, offering his counsel up to anybody who would like to talk with him. And of course, you know, David was an incredibly wise man, and you know, his experiences and his just inherent wisdom was so valuable to so many people who reached out to him. And I am no David Clark, but I just wanted to put out there to, especially to you 20-somethings, you young people, you know, if you're dealing with issues, you know, with all my years as a high school coach and continuing on with relationships with a lot of the folks I used to coach, you know, maybe I could be of some assistance. You know, I was very glad to be able to talk with all 3 of these individuals about some of the struggles they've been going through. And I'm really proud, like I said, of how they've managed to move themselves forward and put themselves in much more positive places. So please drop me a line if you have those mental health issues. I'd love to chat. Or, you know, I would definitely encourage you, go get some counseling. You have many resources out there. Do what it takes to make sure that you're not struggling in the world. So just wanted to throw that out there. And then, as always, if you're looking for positive personal coaching to help you hit your 2024 goals, you know, whether you're training for track events or all the way up to ultra marathons, whether you're young, old, competitive, middle of the pack, whatever, please drop me a note at silly_billy@msn.com or on Facebook and Instagram messengers. And if you're looking for a primetime editing or proofreading for the book of your dreams, something you've been thinking about, let's work on that. That's right up my alley. Please hit me up and we can fast track your idea into print. Okay. Thank you for listening to all that. And now here is Jack Rubelcave and me.
Don't cry!
Welcome back, Jack. I think we're going to finally wrap this trip up here.
It's about time. It's about time we do that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, too many good times, so it's taken a while. But one of the great last places we went to was Singapore, which you know, I think a lot of people know about, but very few people get there, and it's a pretty incredible city.
No, it's awesome. And, I mean, incredible country, really.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
a city-state.
City-state, yeah. City-country. Yeah. What's cool about Singapore, and what's cool about it being our last episode wrapping up this trip, is Singapore felt kind of like a melting pot of everywhere we had been, everywhere I kind of want to go. It just kind of felt like a perfect end, if that makes sense, you know? Like it,
yeah.
It's a good way to wrap up the trip and a good way for us to literally wrap up our trip, you know, a couple months ago now.
Yeah, and so we're going to kind of wrap this up here and talk about how we managed to pull off this trip pretty inexpensively and, you know, kind of tips and tricks to encourage people to get out and travel on their own. And as you said, Singapore is a melting pot, and it is historically a British colony, but it's at the end of the Malay Peninsula, so obviously, they've had a lot of you know, Malaysians, Indonesians, a lot of immigration from China over the years, so and India, and so we kind of experienced you know, some of the major neighborhoods there, including they have we kind of started out in a place called Arab Street,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that was just an interesting place to kind of land there, and the place you know, it's all Muslim oriented, and they have this huge mosque there. I mean, mm-hmm. really impressive looking mosque. We couldn't go in there, but you know, we could hear the call to prayer going on, and they had a lot of shops there that are all kind of Muslim related, if you would, Middle Eastern related.
Yeah, we ate at kind of a weird place too.
Yeah, we did
on that street, and that, yeah, Singapore. I was afraid to go to Singapore, and on that street specifically, there was all these signs that said no touting,
right.
No this, no that. Like Singapore is known for their strict rules, they're, you know, threatened to cane you and things like that, that we were all kind of a little concerned about going there. But all those signs were everywhere on the street. And that was, again, just one of those streets. We ended up in Little India right after that, which was
right.
Lots of Indian restaurants, lots of shops and things like that.
It's a huge area. It's not just like, you know, a little tiny enclave. I mean, we were standing at one street and you could see the things going on forever as far as the eye could see. Yeah.
And Singapore is very modern. It's very, at least that part of town, that like the closer you get to like the main part of the city, is like super modern. But then there's all these, yeah, like Little India and, you know,
and Chinatown.
Right. So yep. It was really unique place to go for sure. It was awesome, honestly. You could spend a lot of time there just bouncing around different areas of the city that feel like different countries almost. You know,
yeah, really no, for a very small place that you could spend a lot of time there, was very cool. The you know, going back to the signs and everything, I mean, you know, everybody knows, you know, Singapore has this reputation, like if you throw gum on the sidewalk, you're going to get caned for it. And from what we can tell, that's true.
But, or if you chew gum. I mean, you're not allowed to even bring gum into the country, I'm pretty sure. There's rules and regulations.
No, I think you're allowed to. I think it's just, you know, they don't want you to throwing on the sidewalk. I don't know. Maybe you can't even bring it in, but we made sure we didn't have any gum.
I don't think you can bring it in, and I wish we could would have done more research on this before talking about it on the pod, but I'm pretty sure you just weren't allowed to bring gum in at all. Or it was like it was like a quantity thing.
Yeah.
Know, like, because that you could, if you were like distributing gum.
Distributing.
If you were distributing gum, you'd get
like distributing weed.
You were seriously getting in a lot of trouble there.
You're a gum dealer. Look
like,
out.
It's like four canes if you distribute gum, I think.
Oh, I think it was probably more than that.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to witness a caning sometime just to see what this is like.
Does it just happen in public? They don't.
I don't think I don't think it's like public hangings like in Saudi Arabia or something,
yeah.
But it's probably in a prison somewhere. But
probably.
But you think if you really want to deter people, you want to like televise it or show people what it looks like to show you like, ooh, you don't want this to happen to you.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, I didn't know what a cane. I don't know. I still don't. I'm not super clear on exactly what a caning is, but
yeah, no, it's like this long whip, if you would.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's supposed to like leave marks on your back, the whole works, and it's like this is supposed to be a very civilized country here.
I mean, that's the reason it is so civilized, because people get caned otherwise.
Yeah, know? No, they don't have crime there, and you know, you mentioned touting before, which is an interesting concept. So basically, these signs were all around Arab Street about basically you can't harass people, especially tourists, you know, because like when we were in Bangkok, you know, you're getting people hitting on you constantly to buy this from them, buy that. And in Singapore, what was it? You get one shot at it. And if you, after that, it's like you bother a tourist a second time. It's like, I think it's at 6 months in jail,
$5,000 fine.
Yeah. And was there caning involved with that one too? I can't remember.
Maybe if you do it a third time, I'm not sure.
Right. But
yeah, they really don't want people to be bothered there by other people's anything. You know, they don't want to be bothered. I mean, it even said, like, if you annoy somebody, you can go to jail, something like that. So they really just want people to kind of live in their own lane and do their own things and not step on gum on the street and not be, you know, getting pulled into stores or into restaurants or whatnot. I mean, which makes it a really awesome place to be if you play by the rules, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, don't jaywalk there. Right. Don't, you know, don't push the boundaries in Singapore. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's at least what we heard. But when we were there, it felt just like a normal place to me.
Like, yeah, it wasn't like Big Brother was watching every move.
Who knows? I mean, they had all these signs in the subways that said, you know, we are watching you type thing. It was kind of sketchy sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I thought one of the funniest things was on the back of a couple buses, we saw these, you know, had a very stern-looking police officer on this sign, and it said, if you molest, we will arrest.
Yep.
It's like, wow, you got to be reminded of that here, huh?
Yeah. Which is crazy that is something that they would struggle with in Singapore when there's so many other things that that they can't do that normal countries can do, that they have to stoop to the if you molest, we'll arrest type thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like, not – so gum's not that big of a deal. Like, you got that one nailed down, but molesting is –
Yeah, when I was on my my run in Singapore, there was a huge banner I saw that said "Feed the Pigeons, $10,000 fine." I mean, that's a lot.
We also
you must like those pigeons a hell of a lot.
We also saw the sign leaving Little India. We were looking for an ATM for you, I think, maybe, or no, a post office. Finding a post office in Singapore was like impossible. But
no, that wasn't that hard.
I thought it was difficult.
Yeah, no,
we went to like multiple places. I thought.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty easy. I'm trying to remember which post office I went to there.
It was at like...
We got souvenirs really easily, like right there in Arab Street.
It was like the... Souvenirs were easy.
Yeah.
Post office was tough. It was like at the bottom of that mall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
it took us a while to find.
Yeah.
But anyways, we were on the way there and we saw a sign. It was like two people fighting each other.
Oh,
and it
said
moment of anger, lifetime of regret. And then it had the fine amount or whatever, jail time. I'm not sure. It was so funny.
Yeah, the sign was great because it actually shows like, you know, like an old Batman cartoon, you know, where the guy's like connecting with the other guy with a big pow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great sign. Yeah. There was one at the harbor there that was like no fishing, $3,000 fine or something.
Yeah.
And it's pretty harsh. But, you know, what really got me though is that with all the things you can't do there, prostitution's legal there.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. As soon as we were done with all the signs, which I think we were, that was a great transition.
Yeah.
Because, we get to Singapore, and I mean, we didn't, like I said, we've talked about this before on some of the episodes. We didn't stay in like 5-star hotels necessarily, but we also didn't stay in the slums, at least we didn't think. A couple times we were close to the slums, but we tried to stay in pretty mid areas. And where we stayed in Singapore just happened to be in the middle of the red light district. And of course, in Singapore, of all places, that just wasn't something I even thought to look up or thought to look into the area.
Yeah, you would have been on it right away if you'd known, right?
But like, I didn't think, I mean, if you couldn't chew gum in Singapore, I thought no matter where you stay, it's probably going to be fine. You know, there's no crime there. So, and not that prostitution is crime, but it's definitely
not there.
It was definitely a different. A different vibe in that part of the town where we stayed.
And as usual, you know, as Jack was saying, we didn't stay in dumpy places, but we were like two blocks out of the nice area of town. That's the way it always seemed to work. But it was a nice hotel. You know, it was okay.
We'll
talk about it in a moment. But it was funny because like we would leave the bus and like walk to our hotel, and it's like you're passing brothel after brothel after brothel, and I guess touting probably applies there. You know, they get one shot at you to try to get you in, and if it's not a good enough pitch, then you know they can't hit you again.
And they were all numbered.
Yeah,
they were all just like had these like red numbers, and I'm not sure if that's how other red light districts work or not. I don't have any experience, but like.
Uh-huh,
they were all just numbered. It was just like number one through like 1,000, it felt like. There was just tons of them with, like, what are they, the pimps sitting outside, like, just waiting for you to come in.
Yeah.
And it, at night, it was popping. Like, that part of town, there was, like, some places to eat near us. They were just, they seemed just, like, nice little local whatever kind of food it was to eat.
Right.
And the places were popping. And then we would just, people leave the those restaurants and just walk down towards where our hotel was. And it was right. just like, oh, yeah, I know what these people are up to. I know what they're going to do right now.
Yeah, it was funny, though, is the brothels were interspersed with these places that have, like, a neon sign with a foot on it. Because, the foot massage places. Mm. I mean, it was like, okay, that's a weird one. Is that just a front for another brothel or what?
Yeah. But we definitely picked the most interesting areas of town we could without knowing that they were going to be interesting. And this was one of them.
Right.
And this is just a total sidebar, but I'm sure these were all over Singapore, but when we walked out of our hotel for the first time after getting there in the morning, there was just that, remember the orange juice machine?
Oh, heck yeah.
That thing was sweet. And I was like, wow, we are in fancy town, you know? And this orange juice machine, I'm sure they have them in the U.S. too. They're not like...
Never seen them here. Never seen them anywhere.
I think I've seen something like that. But anyways, you basically put, I don't know how much it was, $2.
Yeah, it was $2 Singapore, which something like was, that. Probably about $1.50.
Something like that. And then it would fresh squeeze 4 oranges for you inside the machine and give you this fresh squeezed orange juice.
Yeah, it was right the coolest thing. And you could see the oranges like kind of coming down the ramps in there and then being squeezed. And then would pop out a little cup that had, I shouldn't say little, it was a good sized cup with a built in straw into it and everything. I mean, it was so cool just watching your orange juice being made right in front of you. And I mean, there's no way that would last in this country.
No.
I mean, someone would smash it open for the oranges or something.
Yeah. It was very cool. And that was our first taste of Singapore after checking into the hotel. And it turns out that orange juice machine was right outside of a brothel.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Like, it was just like, wow, this, of course, that's where this is. It was pretty interesting area, to say the least. And it was pretty far from the city, actually. On the map, Singapore doesn't look huge, but it was definitely like we had to trek into like the downtown area to get there.
Yeah. No, we did see those machines elsewhere, but they were $3. We were like in the low rent district, so the orange juice machine was only $2.
Well, nobody goes there. And if they do go there, they're spending their money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So orange juice needs to be cheaper.
Yeah, but it was good orange juice, too.
It was.
Yeah.
It was, but yeah, I think we took the train from the airport. I mean, we have to highlight the airport a little bit too in Singapore.
Which is strange, but yes, you're right.
The airport, honestly, is like one of the main attractions there. And not the airport itself, but I forget what it was called.
The Jewel.
Yep. It's just a huge, it's the biggest indoor waterfall in the world.
At
the airport of all places, with like it a bunch is, of shops and
the airport is a tourist attraction, which is so bizarre, and it's like you're being in a giant terrarium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is like this big round dome filled with plants, and the train goes right through it, and the world's what they claim the world's largest indoor waterfall, and it's cool as hell,
super cool.
Yeah,
I'm really glad we checked it out when we got there.
Yep.
When we got to Singapore, we were doing all this other stuff. We went and were talking to all these different Chinese airlines to figure out if we were going to be able to get back to Japan through China. We were like doing all this stuff when we landed in Singapore.
Right.
And I was like, oh man, we need to go check out the waterfall. And I don't remember at the time if you were super on board with that idea, but I'm really glad we did it when we did, because I think we flew out of there at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So we would have had no time to go check that
right.
waterfall thing out on the way through. And it was really awesome. There was a Ding Tai Fung right there, that place from Taiwan,
right.
that restaurant we've talked about, that was like you could like just sit and look at the waterfall and eat Ding Tai Fung, which I'm regretting we didn't do.
Yeah.
That would have been super cool.
Yeah, to refresh people, Ding Tai Fung is like the most amazing restaurant. It's got like just hundreds and hundreds of choices, great service. It's really good food. This is a chain in Asia that is really well known over there just for the quality and quantity and service of the food. You know, it's just it's amazing. And
I would say price too, because it was really cheap. We were in Taiwan when we had it, so
right.
I don't know how much it would have been in Singapore. I would have been curious to look at the menu, honestly.
That's true.
I regret not doing that. But
yeah. It's funny. I've got a friend who was just visiting Taiwan. I mentioned he should go to there, and he said, actually, we have them in Australia where he lives already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's already familiar with it. There are a few in California that we were looking up there, but you know, I think that should be our next business, open up Din Tai Fung here in Colorado. That would probably be a huge hit.
There's one in Vegas.
Is there?
Okay. At the Aria.
Oh, all right.
Dang, I wish I would have known that.
All right, next time we're there.
Next time we're in Vegas. Dang. We were so close to there.
Yeah.
Stahl and I took a trip to see Elton John a couple years ago, like a one-nighter, no hotel kind of trip to see Elton John to Vegas. And if we would have known about Din Tai Fung, we needed to kill some time in Vegas after that concert. That would have been a really good place to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, well. But, so Singapore just, it was really interesting. So we visited several neighborhoods. We mentioned Arab Street. Little India was just filled with these markets. I mean, just these were so cramped. I mean, the aisleways and everything were so narrow. And, they weren't even tall enough for you. I mean, you were ducking your head getting through all these markets there, and just a huge area. And one thing about Singapore, I mean, Singapore is more expensive than anywhere else we visit in Asia, because most places were really affordable. But the thing about Singapore is it would be a great place to live, except for the fact it's not cheap, and it is so bloody hot and humid there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not far from the equator there. It's hot and humid all year round, I understand. So we ended up wandering into Chinatown, and at one point we said, hey, it's so hot and humid, let's stop off and have a beer and cool off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go into this bar/restaurant and have a beer, and, you know, it was kind of achieving its purpose, except we might have stayed and had a second beer if it weren't for the fact of the stench of durian coming from across the street.
Can I add a little bit more context to this?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've mentioned durian before, and I'm glad we're finally getting to this part of the pod, because I think we've mentioned it before. We were checking into our hotel in Thailand, and they said, no smoking and no durian. It was like the only two things they told us when we checked into Thailand.
Right.
We were like, what is that? What are you talking about? Right. I had no idea. Did you know what durian was?
No.
I had no clue what durian was. So we're like, okay, we don't have
any
of that.
We asked them, and they told us it's a fruit. I was like, okay.
You can search us if you want. I don't know.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't going to smuggle peaches, pears, watermelons, or durian in, so okay.
And then when we were also in Bangkok, we were getting on the train. We took the train like one stop, like one time in Bangkok. We didn't take the public transit a lot. But there's a huge sign right when you're walking in. It was just with a big durian and an X.
Yeah.
Like, no durian. We were like, okay, what is this?
Right.
Like, what is it? So we look it up, whatever, you know, and we're looking it up, and we're like, okay, it's really smelly. Okay, it can't be that bad, you know. Like,
right.
We're like, it's a fruit. There's no way. And then that day in Singapore was like our last chance to like try durian. We talked about how like we wanted to try it.
Right.
We wanted to like see what it was all about. And we got the durian ice cream that day. So we're walking through Singapore. I don't remember exactly where, what we were up to. We were just kind of looking at things.
Yeah, we're down that central area there by it was like a big historic government building kind of
right by
thing.
The river.
Yeah.
And we saw the ice cream guy, and there was a durian flavor. I was like, oh, this is our chance to like to try it, but not to really try it, you know, like just to kind of see what the flavor's like.
Yeah. So the guy, he's got this stand, and he has basically blocks of ice cream. You could get chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, normal flavors, and durian. He would actually build he'd take a couple cookies and build the ice cream sandwich himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember this durian thing. It was $14. I mean, you think about that. It was $14 for the stupid thing.
For the ice cream?
Yeah.
I thought it was like $3.
No, it was a lot more.
Hold on. I have a snap memory of this. I'm gonna fact check that.
Okay.
But anyway, so while I'm doing that, just because I really hope, I hope I didn't pay that much for this. I remember, anyway, so yeah, we had that. I took one bite of it, and I kind of got the stench. I was kind of like, whoa, this is... I do not like this very much. Right. I had one bite. Stahl ate the rest of it. So I don't know how you thought that ice cream was. It didn't seem like you thought it was too bad, though, right?
It wasn't as bad as the actual fruit, as we'll talk about here in a moment. But it wasn't good. I certainly wouldn't choose it over chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, whatever. And the thing that gets me is that it's an obsession with these people there. I mean, there was a place right near our hotel that was called, what, Durian King or something? You know, it's like going to your Dairy Queen. This is Durian King. Gosh, and that's all. I mean, that's all they had. I mean, the place across the street from the bar we're going to talk about in a sec sold nothing but durian.
Yeah.
And people are sitting outside eating this crap.
Yeah, so I just found the snap memory. It was $1.50.
Oh, okay. Somehow, yeah. I don't know where I got 14 from.
But. You freaked me out because I was like, I really hope I didn't. Well, the durian we bought. So anyways, yeah, we go through that. And I had the little bit of that ice cream. And I'm looking at the snap memory now. It looks so harmless. It just looks like a nice,
yeah,
I don't know.
Kind of yellowish.
Like lime.
Yeah.
Like lime sherbet or something, you know? It looks really good.
Right.
Tasted, I immediately was kind of put off by the taste. But I couldn't really put my finger on why. Like, it didn't taste bad, but it just did not taste good. You know, right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Stalled the rest of the ice cream, and I felt like that stench was on me all day after that. I just really? Felt like I couldn't get rid of the durian smell all day. We go through the whole day, everything we kind of talked about. We get to Chinatown. We're like, oh, man, it's so hot. We need a beer. We need to sit inside for a second. We get inside. Right. We get the beer. I'm like, yes, this is so nice. Bring us this huge beer, Zingbao, something like that, the Chinese beer, and it's so nice. I'm just like, man, I can't shake this durian smell. It's just all over me. And then I look across the street, and it's just this durian market,
right,
that he was talking about. Outdoor market. There was all these different cuts of durian. It's like steak. Like, it's seriously, like, there was like super expensive durian, middle of the pack durian, one on each side of it, and then like the cheap stuff, you know?
Yeah, so we talked to the lady who was the proprietor there, and you know, they had all this durian that was already cut up that was in these like the styrofoam packs that you see in the supermarket, and
yeah,
she explained to us there's a difference in the grade of durians, and I think the range of prices went from $5 up to $85.
It was expensive, and yeah, these couples or groups were just sitting outside eating whole durians, and it, I mean, the entire block reeked.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, the entire block, like, the restaurant had no business, and now I know why.
Yeah, no, if I were the restaurant owner, I would sue these guys, you know? Over, I mean, maybe that smell didn't bother anybody else. So I don't know why nobody was there, but it certainly drove us out of there. We would have had another beer.
Definitely. It was awful. And then that was just kind of our chance, though, was, you know, this is our chance to get this forbidden fruit that literally reeks. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe the smell. I feel like we should try to describe the smell, but it's just like the worst smell you can think of, honestly.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it smells like a bad locker room or something. Or
That's kind of what it does smell like. It smells like if football team, so let's just say like football team plays a grueling overtime game in the rain, in the mud. Right. And then comes in, takes all their equipment off, and just leaves it in the locker room.
Throws it in a pile.
Throws it in a pile for like a month. And then you walk into that locker room.
Yeah.
The stench that would be in that locker room after that would be pretty horrific with all the wet clothes. And that's what durian smells like.
Right.
If you can just imagine that mental picture. And then imagine finally sitting down to have a beer after such a hot, long day. And just having that be what you're smelling the entire time. And then be thinking that you're going crazy because you ate a durian ice cream 4 hours ago that is just sticking with you. And you're like, oh, no. And then you look, they're just eating these things whole. Like, whole. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway, so then we had to try some. So I think that's where the $14 comes in probably, right?
No, we bought the $5 pack there.
We bought the cheap one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we spent a lot of money on something we're going to hate.
Yes, we get the cheap one.
So maybe we should have. Who knows?
We get the cheap one. Yeah. Oh, man. We get the cheap one, and it's just like, all right, here we go. This is go time now.
Yep, I got you on video here. And
Did I try it first?
Yeah.
I did?
Yep. Ugh,
why did I do that to myself? Are you sure? Anyways, so, yeah, I took a bite of it, kind of. It was, like, so... It's just, like, the most disgusting texture, too. Like, it doesn't get worse than this. Like, it already smells awful. It looked kind of weird. The yellow color is now just really off-putting to me for whatever I'm eating. And it's like, I try to take like a bite of it, and it has like a huge seed in the middle, and like the fruit just kind of slides off and is all slimy. And I'm like, this is...
It's both like slimy and crumbly at the same time. You know?
Yeah.
It was horrible texture.
I went in for a second bite to like get the texture, and it tastes exactly like it smells.
Yeah.
Me. You know what I mean? Like it... It tastes exactly like it smells. I was like, oh, this is, cannot do this. I think you went in for like three bites though. You gave it, you had like a full,
I was going to give it a full chance. Yeah.
You had like a, you gave it like a full piece, and I, that smell, like taste, whatever you want to describe it as, was with me till at least an hour after.
Yeah. Well, like, we found some dinner in Chinatown after that. We had to kill that taste for sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. No, it, yeah. I remember, yeah, I ate, yeah, maybe one piece of it, and it was just, yeah, we ended up throwing the rest away. I mean, it was, we couldn't find a trash can fast enough for that.
It was the worst thing I've ever had, ever.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. In fact, they even have a building in Singapore along the harbor. They've got all these really unique buildings, but there's one building that I think it's a convention center or something that kind of has like this bumpy roof to it. Because the outside of a durian.
Pokey.
Yeah. And it's known as the durian. You know, that's what they've nicknamed this building. So it's like this beloved fruit here, there, which I don't get. And I think they're grown in Australia. Isn't that what we heard?
I think they're just Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was absolutely horrific. And that was the first time we had, like, really full-fledged seen it. I hadn't really full-fledged seen the fruit, I don't think, until that market.
No.
So that market, we had talked about, like, oh, we got to try to get some. And we saw some frozen durian or something.
Right.
Or I don't know what it was.
Yeah, you could buy, like, frozen durian chunks in the supermarket or something.
Or was it, like, fresh durian? I remember we were at that like, supermarket in Bali. And I was like, should we buy this?
Yeah.
And I think it was just like a fresh fruit kind
of
pack.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a whole one or something.
Right? It wasn't whole. It was like, because it wasn't pokey.
Yeah.
And I was like, should we buy this? And we're like, nah. Or maybe it was frozen. And we were like, no, we want the real thing.
Yeah.
Either way, we didn't do it in Bali. Thank goodness we didn't. We decided to do it in Singapore, and it was like the real, actual durian, fresh from the whatever the heck it is. And
yeah, I wonder if we'd gone back to that lady and said, "Hey, that was really disgusting." Whether she would have said, "Oh, well, you bought the cheap shit. You should have bought the $50 one. That one's good."
I just can't imagine.
No, I can't imagine it'd be that much better.
I just can't imagine it being good. And they were just eating it whole. It's just like,
yeah, they literally go to places and just sit there and just eat durian.
It was the worst thing ever. It was absolutely the worst thing ever.
Right.
And I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we can share the experience of durian. If you're ever anywhere and you see durian, just avoid it. Right. Just like we bit that bullet for you. Don't do it to yourself. It's not worth it.
There you go.
So that's all my advice. Yeah. My advice is to try everything too, by the way. I'm like, do it once.
Yeah.
Try this once. Do everything once, whatever. Yeah, don't do durian.
No.
It's not worth
it. No, it's true.
Don't bring it to any hotels. You'll get kicked out.
That's right.
So.
Or maybe if you want to play a prank on someone, give them some durian.
That's good.
Yeah.
If you want to make somebody's house smell awful for the rest of the time they live there, just open a durian there one time.
Yeah, right.
The stench will never leave.
Yep. That's good. Oh, well. Well, yeah, we did. I remember we had a Chinese meal after that. I remember drinking a big bottle of beer. I can't remember if that was really a standout. But there were some, during that day walking around, we did see some cool things. We went to that one Hindu temple.
Mm-hmm.
That it was absolutely amazing. I mean, this thing was gigantic, and just everywhere you looked in there, just shrines. It was almost like when we went to Bangkok with the Buddhist temples there. This was just this huge temple of just Hindu stuff.
It was pretty huge.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were supposed to be in there at first without pants or whatever. I thought you were supposed to have pants on, but then we just saw a couple other tourists walk in.
Yeah.
Was there pants? No.
No, it wasn't a pants thing, but we did have to take our shoes off.
Okay.
That was pretty common at all the Hindu and Buddhist things we went to there. In fact, and speaking of that, we went to this place that it was a temple. Was like the Buddha's tooth was supposed to be in there or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Buddha tooth. That thing was pretty cool, too. Really detailed inside.
Yeah.
Lots of Buddhas. That place was pretty awesome. They were all really cool.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, so many temples and religious sites in Asia just everywhere that are just awesome. And the artwork and the amount of detail put into everything. I mean, it really puts like our architecture here in the States and our kind of things like that just to shame, you know?
Yeah.
Like our stone marble statues are cool in like DC, but then you go to like just this Hindu temple that he's describing and it's like, wow, this is like so much time, energy, effort was put into just like this one piece, this one image that this is trying to like describe to us. It's just pretty amazing, honestly. And it's a lot of it was like too much for me to soak in at times.
Yeah.
So
Well, I think one thing that was really overwhelming was all the buildings around Singapore Harbor, basically. I'd gone for a run that morning and kind of, you know, saw the whole thing. I mean, I took a nice long run. It was really cool. They had a great path that went all the way around the harbor. So I kind of got the long view of a lot of this stuff. And then we were back later on. I think very famously, a lot of people have seen the Sands Hotel, which is this basically three-tower hotel with a surfboard on top. And, the surfboard is a two-level observation deck up there. There's a pool up there. And you get a true 360-degree view of everything in the harbor and then out into the ocean. The ocean, it's amazing how many container ships are out there. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a major port, but that was just such a cool view up on top of the Sands Hotel.
Well, the Sands Hotel itself was really awesome as well.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure. Were we ever inside? We were across the street. They had like a mall across the street, the Sands Mall.
Yeah, connected by a walkway.
And we got lunch there.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Ding Tai Fung kind of place.
Yeah, it was a Hong Kong style Chinese restaurant, I guess.
Yeah.
They also had this weird, almost waterfall inside there. It wasn't actually water, but it was kind of made, it looked like water the way, and the colors changed in it and everything, but very, very fancy mall as you expect in a city like that.
Very bougie.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool to see that style of Asia again.
Yeah.
You know, it was very cool to see just the advanced technology that Singapore had over, you know, the countries around it. And
right.
Yeah, it was really cool. The top of the Sands was awesome.
Yeah.
The view of Singapore. I mean, Singapore is really just like a beautiful city, the harbor. There was like a concert venue that you could see as well that was like where the band sets up was in the water, and then the stands all were facing away from the water.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
It's an amphitheater. They're actually working on it at the time there. But I've seen pictures of, you know, when it's completed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool concert venue they have there right on the harbor.
On the harbor.
Yeah.
And just everything around there was just really cool. On top of the Sands was maybe the highlight. And right below the Sands, I guess we kind of forgot to talk about this, was the gardens. What were they called?
Yeah, I hadn't forgotten. We just hadn't gotten to it. The forest.
Yeah,
so we saw signs for the, I forget what it's, Singapore Forest, or whatever it is. We thought it was going to be a forest of trees. And they were trees, but they weren't natural trees. They are actually sculptures. Very unique. I mean, they're huge. I mean, they were probably 100 feet tall.
It gave me Avatar vibes. From the movie Avatar. That's kind of what it reminded me of. I don't know how to explain that necessarily, but
yeah,
to add my context in.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't natural trees. I don't know Avatar, you know, because I'm a movie idiot. But mm-hmm. But yeah, so this far, and we thought we were sneaking into it, too. We walked in there, and we thought, ooh, we got away with something here. And we didn't realize anybody can walk in. But there's all these walkway areas around that water there at the base of the Sands Hotel. And there's sculptures all around, and there's... we were next to what they claimed was the world's longest sculpture. It was like all these African animals like joined together there, elephants and rhinos and hippopotamuses, etc. And just all these cool sculptures that were there. And there was the one of the baby.
Yeah.
That's the one that I show people pictures that blows people away to this day. It was this giant baby that if you look at it, you say, how is that thing floating above the grass there?
It was like it was on its back floating, and its hand was like touching the ground. Not really though, right?
It wasn't, no. That was the thing.
It was just floating.
Yeah, and there was a very, very tiny post from his hand holding up this giant sculpture. I mean, the thing must be hollow. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you look at it, you're like, whoa, that thing is floating. How's that possible?
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Yeah.
Super weird. There was just a whole lot of cool stuff like that. In the, what is that place called? I mean, the Cloud Forest was in there, stuff like that. But the whole thing had a name. But yeah, there was all these huge tree-looking things, and it was just really, honestly, it was really cool walking through there.
Yeah, we walked into this one kind of outdoor building that had these, some guy had like this exhibition of, it's one of these things where you stand far away and you see an image, and then you get close and you realize that like the image is made up of like circuit boards or batteries keychains or whatever, you know. And it was just amazing when you look up close, there was all these things that he'd repurposed, and then you look get away from it, and it's like, wow, it creates a whole picture of sorts. Yeah,
gum wrappers.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in Singapore, maybe, but
yeah, no, yeah, yeah. These people all got caned for these gum wrappers.
Yeah, yeah.
There was the one kind of outdoor sculpture that was all xylophones. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all different kinds. You could play music on all these things.
Yeah, that was really fun too.
Yeah,
yeah. There was just a whole lot of like really cool stuff in Singapore. It's hard to explain. Like everywhere you turn was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Oh, I can play this. You know, like is that Baby Hollow? Like, there's just so many things that you want to take pictures of in Singapore.
Right.
Just a really beautiful city. That.
Yeah, and then at night, like all those buildings were kind of like bright green and reflecting on the river.
Yeah,
and everything just looked really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, everything was just really cool in Singapore. I don't know how else to explain it other than that, though. Other than every time I turned my head, I was looking at something that I wanted to take a picture of.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting combination of, you know, big modern buildings, and then you have all these ethnic neighborhoods, you know, the Little Italy, Chinatown, Arab Street and everything. And
then the red light district that we
stayed in. The red light district, yeah.
Which just adds just an element to the city, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It felt like it just had everything. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
right. Yeah, so the most memorable meal we had, though, was a couple friends I have, Johan and Kevin, who I'd met on the cruise I took in South Africa the previous year, and they live in Singapore, and they invited us out to this private club. And, first of all, they sent a driver for us, and he picked us up and took us to this place. The guy's telling us the whole time, oh, yeah, this place is really good, and we go in there. And it's like this fancy private club up, I forget how many floors up. I mean, you know, really kind of dark wood in there, and very, very exclusive. And we just had a really good meal in there. I can't even remember what I ate in there, but we had multiple courses and just very, in your generation's language, bougie.
It was very bougie. It was, well, the whole thing for me was, I mean, it was awesome.
Right.
Johan was sweet, super smart guy. Kevin was awesome. I think they saw where we were staying, and they said, "Yeah, we're gonna send the driver. Want to
pick us up there, right?"
But for me, I didn't know. I mean, I knew that he met these two people on the cruise that he took, so I knew that they lived in Singapore. So I was like, "Okay, they're probably probably pretty bougie, right?" I don't know, you know. But then we were like getting ready to go to dinner, and he was like, "I'll pick you up at 7 or whatever." Johan said, "I'll pick you up at 7." And he's like, "Actually, my driver." It's gonna pick you up at 7.
Right.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is what is going on here? And I thought we were just gonna be like at like a regular restaurant. Right. And they were like, no, yeah, this is
Remember, we looked up this club.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird description because it kind of sounded like they're like a chain of clubs around the world for people who like to explore new things, it kind of said. And it kind of made it sound like it was all just like voyeurism there, or, you know, what the hell's going on here? We couldn't figure out what the description was about.
Yeah, I didn't know what we were walking into. I thought you were saying there was a chance we were going to be out partying all night with these guys. Like,
yeah.
I was just totally unknown on the drive, and the drive was so pretty too, because we took the train in to the city the first time into like Little India and everything, and we got driven in this time just like past everything at night, all lit up, like, oh, it was so awesome, the drive in. And this club was like right in the middle of the city, and we got out of the driver's car, and he was just like, yeah, it's kind of over there,
yeah, and go up the elevator,
and we were like, okay, wait, where would we go, like, and then we got there first before Johan and Kevin, and we were just kind of in the club. I felt wildly underdressed because, I mean, I had one polo that I luckily had brought.
Right.
Just like, I don't know, for this occasion, I suppose, but it was like a Rockies polo, and I was in shorts, I think, so it was super hot, and I just felt really weird, you know? Everybody was walking around in like suits and really nicely dressed, and...
Yeah, well, we'd been traveling around like dirt bags for 3 weeks at this point, and it's we didn't bring clothes for a special occasion.
I didn't know it was a special occasion. I thought we were just going to hit like an Applebee's and call it a day. But it was pretty crazy, and it was really good food. I mean, just like we got wined and dined a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, I still am very appreciative to Johan and Kevin for taking us out. And then after the dinner, they took us around, they drove us around, showed us some things. They showed us where the Buddha's tooth was and told us kind of about that story.
Right.
We've been kind of going through Singapore in just like different parts. This isn't chronological order by any means, but we figured out about Buddha's tooth and all that. And then that's kind of where we went to that area of town and then found the durian and everything. So, But yeah, it was really awesome.
It was a beautiful drive through. I mean, because then we had the city all lit up for us and everything. Yeah. And, you know, the Sands Hotel and everything else are just really beautiful at night, too. It's mm-hmm. you know, gorgeous city.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, didn't expect to do that in Singapore, most definitely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's probably one of the nicest meals I've ever been to in my life. Really? So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty insane.
Yeah. No, that was an awful lot of fun. Yeah. Good dudes. So that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, you know, we were walking on the street, I think it was our last day, and you were walking around and you had a, your Rockies hat on, and some mm-hmm. guy came up and said, "Hey, Rockies, I'm from Colorado too." And,
yeah,
we ended up talking to this guy. He was on a business trip there. It turns out he lives like 20 blocks north of me.
Yeah.
It was like, what the hell?
Yeah, he was like, "Go Rockies." It's that. And I had like the World Series hat on.
Yeah.
He was like, "Is that an 07 hat?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And like, it was kind of crazy. He was like, total Colorado accent, you know, like right. from Wheat Ridge. That was insane.
Yeah.
We talked to him for a second. He was a big Colorado sports fan.
Yeah.
You just ran into a guy in Chile that was from Colorado as well. It's happened to you back to back trips.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then the craziest thing was when we were in the bar in Osaka, and the guys sitting next to us were from Wheat Ridge.
Oh, you're talking about, and we were actually
was it Kyoto?
No, we were in Tokyo. We were in Shinjuku.
Was it there? I didn't think so.
Yeah, it was the first night.
Okay.
It was like the first night we were there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in this little tiny bar, and then it turns out the guy actually ran cross country for Wheat Ridge High School and knew the coach.
Yeah.
He didn't run, his brother had run, but still.
And him and his I'm going to say wife, I'm not sure, but they were there just because he works for United. I think, right? That couple you're talking about?
I can't remember if you worked for United, but they were going to a show later on, I remember.
And he worked for United, and that was his wife's first time out of the country, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just because he works for United, but he's like from Denver. It was all crazy, you know? Yeah. So, happened to us twice there that we met people kind of like that. And yeah, we talked to that guy for a second and then just kind of went our separate ways and explored the rest of Singapore that we could.
Yeah. A couple other things I wanted to mention about Singapore is just when I was on my run, you know, I saw a lot of cool things. I mean, just the sights there are amazing. I mean, I passed by their a national stadium, which is a retractable roof stadium, which looked super cool. Saw their Grand Prix track there, which is right there along the waterfront there. Formula One. I mean, their Formula One track, and then right next to that was the big Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. Which it seems like so many European cities and everything is kind of a big thing these days, kind of like the London Eye. But they got the giant Ferris wheel right on the water there, too. So, just everywhere you look, there was something crazy, you know, just so unique to Singapore.
What's the bummer is one of the big landmarks was the giant shark, fish.
Lion.
Lionfish.
It's called the Merlion.
Yeah. The lionfish, it's really big. It was under construction, so we didn't get to see that.
Yeah, it was all covered in the scaffolding. So they had a mini one, and we walk up to it and like, well, this thing isn't that impressive. It's got like water coming out of its mouth because it's a combination of lion and mermaid kind of thing, and merlion, and it's a very famous thing. It's like the symbol of the city, and then we realize, oh, there's a reason why we're just seeing this mini. It's a mini version because the real one's actually being refurbished or something.
Yeah,
that was a bummer.
That was kind of a bummer. That was the only thing, though. And, I mean, everywhere you looked, just every store was interesting. Every convenience store was interesting. Like, everything was interesting there because it was just such a blend of everywhere. I mean, dang near everywhere in the world, you know? I mean, they speak English and they this, and this, but there's so many cultural things everywhere. There's so many different food options everywhere. There's so many different parts of town everywhere. So it's just like if you were to go to, like, one international destination in your life – to get as much, culture, not shock, but just to experience as many cultures as you can in one go, Singapore is a great option for you, really, because you can do a lot there in a little bit of time.
Yeah, and it's kind of central. Well, it's not saying it kind of sticks out there, but it is a major hub, so you can get there pretty easily as well. Speaking of which, I just was thinking about the breakfast I had in the airport as we were leaving, because we flew from there to Vietnam, which, I think we talked about our whole...
luckily.
Yeah, but breakfast is so weird in a lot of these foreign countries. I struggled with breakfast, being a vegetarian and everything. So at the airport, I got this. It was called a red bean toast. Red bean was like a really big thing there too. Mm-hmm. And I got this toast. It was like 4 bites and a soft-boiled egg in a cup. That was what, you know, they served for breakfast there. And they gave me a cup of tea that I couldn't even handle because there was like no paper sleeve on it. And like the cup was just too hot to handle there. It was pretty nuts.
It was also weird at the airport in Singapore leaving because we came into the airport and we walked in and there was like no security. And we were like, where the heck do we go to get security here?
Right.
And we got all the way to the gate, and it, like, the security was, like, at the gate. And I've learned since that there are, like, some other airports in the world that are like that, mm-hmm. where you just go through right at the gate. But it makes it tough because, like, you had breakfast. I think I had, like, a coffee that I had to, like, chug because I couldn't take it through
right.
security, which I thought was kind of weird. But, yeah, that was kind of an interesting note about the Singapore airport as well on the way out.
Yeah, and you know, one other transportation thing. We were riding the buses there, and you know, you always had like a ticket or something where you had to like put it through or card, you know, when you got on, when you got off. And I remember when we got off at Arab Street, I think it was, I forgot to check out, so to speak.
Did you ever see how much you got charged for that?
No, I probably need to go back to my credit card statement because I always wondered like, oh my God, did I get charged like the max amount here or something? Or did they just assume I was riding the bus for the next week?
You're still getting charged right now. Right?
I know.
Do you imagine?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's always a challenging figuring out transit everywhere else.
But yeah, you just like put your credit card up and just like swiped your, I mean, you just like touched your credit card to the bus and it charged you.
Yeah.
And I only got charged like $2 for right. the bus ride or something. It's all still getting charged to this day,
yeah, right.
I guess.
Yeah, I get charged $2 every day for the past 6 months.
Well, I got charged $2 for the 4 stops we took.
Ah, okay.
So you're probably getting charged like...
Yeah, I got
$30.
I mean, I was going to say I'm getting charged to the end of the line. Fortunately, the end of the line isn't too far away in Singapore.
Yeah.
Unless I'm getting charged for the way back and back and back and forth. Yeah.
You should seriously go look at that.
Yeah, I should.
A second and go figure out how much you got charged that day.
Right. Okay.
Because that was funny.
Yeah. So, anything else about Singapore before we wrap up the whole our whole travel itinerary here?
I don't think I have anything to add. I mean, it makes me sad that we're done talking about the places a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was such a good time. So many cool new experiences in all these places, really. And Singapore was no different. And, you know, it's the last place that we have to recap for now, but
right.
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, no, so. For sure. No, it's, and that's what it's all about, is all the experiences. I mean, they're all so unique. And what was really interesting for me on this trip, you know, having been to South America, I've been to, what, 4 different countries in South America. And quite often you feel you're kind of in the third world. Although I was recently in Santiago, Chile, which definitely doesn't feel third world. It's a very, very cool city. But in any case, going to these countries where it's first world for the most part, you know, certainly when you're in Tokyo and Seoul and Taipei and Singapore, et cetera, it feels very first world, but it's culturally so different. And these experiences are just so different from what we're used to here in the U.S. So definitely encourage people, get out there and try these things. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, both of us agree. We would hop on an opportunity to go to Japan again in a heartbeat. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so much fun over there. I want to go run the Tokyo Marathon as an excuse to go visit Japan or something.
Yeah, right? I would live in Japan.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I think it's the one place in Asia that I would like legitimately, if I got a job offer in Japan tomorrow, right. I'd be like, yeah, I'm doing it.
There you go. So, you're going to go work for the Yakult Swallows, you know?
I would work for the Yakult Swallows. That'd be a good time.
Yeah. Baseball team in Tokyo. We visited their fan shop, but yeah, so we pulled off a trip here with, we took 13 flights, visited 7 countries in 3.5 weeks. And, our total outlay cash, I mean, we used some points, we used some miles. We flew on Peach and Scoot and Air Asia and Vietjet and Tiger Air, mm-hmm. and managed, I think our total cash outlay was $204 or something insane like that.
Yeah, so for all the flights, and I mean, this is the thing, like we're talking about how we did this for so cheap. I mean, I'm lucky that Stahl had a lot of points, a lot of miles on Delta. an American to get us across the ocean.
Yep.
So, I mean, but that's the thing. These airline credit cards are pretty easy to obtain, and they always have great bonuses.
Yeah.
So it's not like these miles you have to rack up by spending lots of money and getting them over years and years and years, even though I'm sure that's how you got them. You don't have to do it like that.
Yeah, but even those flights to and from Asia were not that many miles. We happened to see this opportunity 5 months before where we said, hey, look at this deal here. Let's jump on it. We'll fill in the blanks later on.
But I took a Europe trip, and this was without Stahl's help and his miles with my girlfriend before this. And
Your current girlfriend. The trip was before this trip.
Yeah.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, yeah. but we took a trip, and I got the Delta card that actually Stahl has, and you know, I think I got my car around then. I put as much money as I could on the card with a purchase I was like getting ready to make anyways.
Yeah,
paid it off. You know, that I didn't have to like pay any interest, anything like that. Got the miles, and then I was to and from London for free. Essentially, right. You know, and I still had miles left over. And in this kind of case, you could do something like that if you had the right card and the right timing and the right, you know, bonus you could get, because our flight to Tokyo on American went through Phoenix and LA, and it was only 30,000 miles, I think, one way, which is pretty crazy because, I mean, there are places you can't fly in the U.S. for 30,000 miles.
Oh, heck no.
On a Friday Monday.
It cost me more to fly to the East Coast for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's just, it is crazy affordable, really, because, like, they have trouble filling these seats on flights sometimes, and especially around that time of year. I mean, if you went to Japan for the cherry blossoms, like right now in April, probably be more expensive, but that's why timing is important. That's why when you fly is important. We flew on a Tuesday.
Right.
Things like that. So, but yeah, so if you are able to do that, and you know, pay your rent or pay something, you know, pay if you've like a big expense coming up, like get a card first, pay it with that, pay the card off, get the 75,000 miles that you get, and then you can do something like this for free, essentially.
And you know, you make a good point about being traveling at contrary times. You know, you mentioned, you know, we flew on a Tuesday. We also went from late October to early November, and you know, not prime tourist season, but the weather was fantastic.
It was a great time to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great time to be there. And it wasn't too hot like it would have been in like dead summer. Japan was nice. Korea was nice.
The leaves turning in Korea were absolutely spectacular.
So, I mean, timing, you know, makes it easier for us to do this for cheap. But so anyways, Stahl had those miles to get us across and back. And getting back on Delta, it was like 19,000 miles,
right?
Which is insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, insane.
Yeah, but then you know, we flew on these airlines though that, you know, at first you're like, oh my god, are we going to die here? I mean, like Vietjet particularly was one that I was reading, like, oh my god, I've never seen an airline with worse reviews in my life.
But yeah,
It was fine.
Yeah,
you know, the funny thing about it was I remember the front of the overhead luggage bins there had advertising on them.
That's a big thing in a lot of places other than the U.S. I realize. I mean, all over Europe, on your flight on Ryanair or whatever, all ads everywhere on the seat backs everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you drop the tray tables down, it's like an ad. It's crazy.
Yeah, right.
But I booked all those flights. I booked our flight from Tokyo to Seoul, Seoul to Taiwan, Taiwan to Bangkok. Not our flight to Chiang Mai, because we added that later.
Right.
But then Bangkok to Bali, Bali to Singapore, Singapore to Vietnam. I booked all seven of those flights with – I had the Capital One Venture card, which gave me 75,000 miles or whatever, which the Capital One points are a little bit different. So they're not as valuable in my opinion, but they work for cheaper stuff because it's basically just $750 you get.
Right.
So I had like 800 something – dollars I could use, and that got us all the way around Asia until we had to fly back to Tokyo. So that's where he mentions $204. That was the most expensive flight we took in general, number one, and that was the only one we had to pay for out of pocket. Was like $204. So we
but these airlines were cheap anyway.
So even if you don't have the, even if we had to do it with, because originally I got the venture card thinking I'm going to get myself to and from Japan.
Right.
That was like what I was thinking. And then it turns out Stahl had miles and we could kind of like collaborate, mix and match to where it like benefited both of us. But even if you had to just like get the venture card and get to and from Japan, which you can probably do with that card, I was going to be able to. Those flights in Asia weren't crazy expensive. I mean, like I said, I just spent $850 for both of us to get around everywhere,
right?
In points, so that's how much it would have cost for both of us, and it wasn't much, you know.
No,
and it's once you're there, you're there, and yeah. That's kind of my next piece of, I don't want to say advice, but once you, it takes so much time, energy, and effort to, especially get to somewhere like Asia, crossing the date line and,
right,
you know, going through what your body goes through to adjust to, you know, living 16, 17 hours in the future. Once you're there, go, right. Go elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to Japan, you can, right, stay in Japan, but go elsewhere, you know, like Seoul's 2-hour flight, you, yeah, know, another hour and a half flight down to Taiwan, you know?
Right.
Another, I mean, it was like a 4-hour flight over to Bangkok, but it was so worth it.
Yeah.
To go to Chiang Mai and to do all of that. Like,
right,
the travel didn't feel like a burden because it was just so exciting every time. And getting to go to so many new places and so many new cultures and so many different languages and, you know, ways, right, of life, it was just super unique. And if you ever decide to do it, just full send it, you know?
Like, yeah.
I wish we would have added another few days and went to Hong Kong and went, right, to wherever else we could have. And it just, you know, we did what we could, and now we just got to go back and kind of complete the rest of it at some point, oh, yeah, in our lives.
But no, I'd like to get to Hong Kong, like the Philippines. We talked about even dropping down to Perth, Australia, which wasn't, yeah, too far away. But yeah, definitely. I mean, we could be more immersive in all the places we went to as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The other thing is, you know, we booked hotels, and I'm trying. Did we use Klook for that? I can't remember how we booked those hotels.
So hotels, I just did hotels.com.
Okay.
I did not do hotels.com. I do not like hotels.com. I'm not endorsing them. I used booking.com.
Okay.
Booking gives you a lot of great deals if you book on your phone.
Yeah.
So if you're booking on your phone, you get 30% off a lot of the time, which, again, like when you're taking a trip like this, it costing $800 or $1,000 to stay for 3 weeks, you know, that's just like, you're just nickel and diming at that point. The $200, right, doesn't matter a whole lot. But what the 30% off gives you the ability to do is to look at staying in the, you know, somewhat nicer areas.
Right.
Give you the ability to splurge in a place like Bali, which we did, and, yeah, like, you know, stay there. So, you know, definitely I recommend use Booking. Book on your phone because they always have mobile-only deals.
Right.
Sometimes hotels that aren't even there on the computer are there on your phone when you use Booking.
Mm.
Super reliable as well. Like, we didn't have any problems, any of the hotels we stayed at.
No.
I believe we booked with Booking for all of them. And when I took my Europe trip, too, I used Booking for everything as well. Except, yeah, for one hotel I used hotels.com for, and I had trouble. So I,
yeah,
again, not trying to bash on hotels.com. I'm sure they're fine, but Booking is maybe the way to go.
Yeah, it's funny. I just used Booking on my trip to St. Paul, Minnesota when I was out there for the Frozen Four. So, mm-hmm, yep, good site.
And it's good to use, you know, when you're doing things in different currencies and in different languages, stuff like that. Like, they do a really, right, good job of translating everything, like messages you get from hotels. They do a good job of letting you know the information you need to know, and the directions are always really good as well. So yeah, we had like no problems getting in anywhere. We had no problems travel-wise, which I think is honestly just more luck than anything.
Right.
We didn't have a single delay or cancellation.
Yeah.
I mean, we almost got a little messed up with our Vietnam thing, but that wasn't necessarily, yeah, travel-related.
That
wasn't
an airline thing. That was Vietnam and their stupid visa policy. Mention also the how you used Apple Maps to get us around, you know, on the transit, yeah, systems everywhere. You know, people may be really intimidated about how to get around.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people that I know that take international trips book the package thing where they, mm-hmm, go through some sort of site, and we've done this before too. I think when the Azores, we did that, right, where everything was, yeah, set up, flights, everything was set up by somebody else, somebody else than us. And like, that's a fine way to do it. It takes all the stress out of it, but it doesn't, right, have to be done like that. And was one of the things I was super excited to like show Stahl on this trip, was that, not necessarily show you like you didn't know, but show you like, you don't need anybody else. You can do anything you need to.
Right.
Apple Maps is great. Like I said, Seoul, the Apple Maps didn't work there. So that kind of threw everybody for a loop.
Right. But
Apple Maps, you get on, you switch your maps to transit mode, and then you just follow the dot to wherever you need to go. And right. And the maps, like if you click on the transit, it'll show you the whole line, the times where it comes, the exits you need to take to get to certain places. Like mm-hmm. Apple Maps is pretty incredible. And as long as you're willing to try and to put in the extra effort it takes to get somewhere on your own versus having somebody come scheduled to pick you up, it's like the journey is so awesome. Like we right. saw so many things in the subway stations. We talk about the can of hot corn soup that we got out of the subway in Japan. And that right. was like one of the highlights of the trip for me was just that can being so blistering hot. I couldn't even right. touch
in like 15 seconds.
You know, like those little journeys and things that you learn from like actually going through a place the way locals do and getting yeah. around just on your own dollar, on your own time, on your own schedule. It's just like pretty amazing. So, and anybody can do it. It wasn't a challenge. I don't think any of us ever felt challenged or lost or anything like that. So
No, the thing, the Apple Maps, I mean, yeah, it told you, I mean, even down to like what door to leave from the subway station to get to whatever destination you were headed to. I mean, it was pretty amazingly easy to use. And I used it myself then after I learned from you guys when I was in Santiago, Chile, mm-hmm. Was able to navigate their transit system just great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome for transit.
Yeah.
Really awesome for transit. I mean, such a great design by Apple too. So user-friendly. It's like really easy on the eyes too. Like everything's laid out in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that definitely helps. And it's just really cool to get to know the cities like that, you know?
Okay.
It's really cool to get to know the cities in your own way.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we had nothing planned, and yeah, you definitely get to go do see what you want, and you're not relying on other people, you know, tour group, whatever. And the other thing that we found out about is that, you know, like when we were in Colombia, for instance, a few years ago, we used Hopper to get around. It told mm-hmm. us everything. Well, over in Asia, the Hopper equivalent is Klook, Klook. Mm-hmm. And Klook was everywhere in Asia, pretty much. And the only thing we did that was a tour was when we booked the DMZ tour in South Korea.
Right.
And yeah, we found that tour on Klook. But Klook is available for all sorts of different deals out there. Could be, you know, whether it's hotels, rental cars, tours. A lot of these cities have like packages where you can buy like an all attraction pass kind of thing, and those are on Klook. So
Klook's awesome.
Yeah.
It reminds me more of a like TripAdvisor
yes.
than a Hopper, but it has like it's like both almost. It's like mm-hmm. we booked all of our train tickets on Klook,
right?
Not all of them, I guess, but you know, majority of our train tickets in Japan on Klook.
And yeah, when we took like the bullet train from yeah. Tokyo down to was it Kyoto? I guess mm-hmm. we took it to, yeah.
So Klook was awesome though, and like I said, like he said, tours and things that you want to do and want to get into, tickets are usually cheaper on Klook. Like it's definitely something that I mean, luckily our travel partner Nigel that was there knew about Klook. He had been in that part of the world for a bit longer than us, so that was awesome. He put us on to that.
Yeah.
Klook was awesome. I definitely recommend looking into those kind of apps no matter where you are. I think they're everywhere.
Right.
So yeah, Klook is super awesome. Book your travel through that if you can.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can book flights or anything, but I know that you can book trains in Europe, trains in Japan, trains everywhere on Klook.
Yep.
So I just don't know if it's in the U.S. at all, but
I've never heard of Klook here. But yeah. Is there another app in the U.S.? I don't know. It seems
Have trains really. I mean, Hopper's also great.
Right.
Hopper's really good with the mix and match fares too.
Yeah.
I think when a lot of people travel, they get into their favorite airline. They put Denver to Bogota. And they see that, oh, it's that expensive, you know.
Right.
But Hopper is great because they show you the mix and match fares,
yeah.
which maybe you're flying on a one-way ticket to Miami first, like we did,
yeah.
and then flying from Miami to Bogota, which saved us, I mean, thousands of dollars probably to do it that direction.
Right.
And that wasn't necessarily a Hopper thing, I don't think. But Hopper does do that for you, and it saves you a lot of money if you're willing to you know, be right. flexible with how you get to places. And it's just all part of the journey though, you know?
Right.
Like that Colombia trip, we did fly to Miami. We spent the night in Miami first. That was quite the adventure on its own.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like all that's memories that you make along the way to where you're going. And all that's, I mean, every step of the journey is just as important. The travel days are just as important, can be just as fun as the days you're in the big cities. Like
Oh yeah.
You can't look forward to anything. You can't look back at anything. You got to really just enjoy where you are and what you're doing and how you're doing it and just enjoy the process. That's what traveling's all about.
Yeah.
You know? And just enjoying who you're with, enjoying what you're doing and take pictures of the beautiful stuff. That's really, yeah. That's really all there is to it.
And come back with a lot of great stories and photos and whatnot. But yeah, I also look at traveling away as a little bit of a challenge. I mean, I like to challenge myself, whether it's racing or, you know, and getting into new career areas that I haven't been in before. And traveling's a little bit the same thing. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, language issues and, like you say, all these travel things you've mentioned that are not insurmountable by any means. You just have to be able to master some of this stuff. Like I say, I learned what you guys did and was able to apply it when I was in Santiago, Chile. So
yeah, and that's awesome. And
yeah,
overcoming the challenge is the best part about it.
Yeah.
Because it is a challenge, you know, like communicating with a server at a restaurant in Bogota, Colombia was not super easy all the time necessarily, you know? And
yeah, but at least I knew a little Spanish. I mean, it was, how much more difficult was it in Asia?
It was harder in Asia, for sure. Yeah. In Asia, there was a lot of pointing to this and just praying a little bit. right. But it's so fun. And then you get a bowl of ramen that maybe you wouldn't have ordered, but it was awesome, you know?
Right.
And like all of that's just kind of... it's just awesome. Like traveling is just really the best thing you can do. And I do think that just doing it how you want to do it is just, it's so fulfilling,
yeah.
Right? Like it's so fulfilling to just walk out the door and know that like you're in complete control of your day. You're in complete control of where you're going to eat and what you're going to do. And the part of that's scary, but part of it right. is just so fulfilling once you get back to the hotel that night thinking, wow, we just went out and had quite the day and it was all us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you say in control. On the other hand though, I would say, you have no idea what lies ahead during that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's almost like if I go out for a run in a new city, it's like, what am I going to run into out there? I don't know.
Do you like that or do you not like that?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
No, that's the best part. It's you run into things. I mean, yeah, I think of like the run I took in in Taipei where I ran into Lungshan Temple, which we went back to later on. I mean, it's one of the like prime tourist things there, but it's like, I had no idea I was going to run into that. I just thought, hey, this looks like the best way to get back to our hotel. And it's like, holy crap, look what I just found here, you know? Or the exploration while running to me is an absolute highlight there.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a runner, I used to love, I mean, I didn't travel internationally when I was like a runner really, but I used to love getting to new cities all the time and just going for a run.
Yeah.
It's the best way to see a city really. Cause you see so much of it in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And, Stahl would always come back every morning like, oh, I saw this, this, and this. And I was always just like, stop talking. I want to get out there and see it myself, you know?
Like, no, you were like, no, shut up. I haven't gotten out of bed yet and I need to find a coffee shop.
Yeah, but but yeah, he saw so many cool things and he always had like great pictures of just like random stuff that I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know? We'd always get to breakfast and the topic of breakfast pretty much was always, you know, what Stahl saw on his run, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like it really is the best way to see a city. Even if you're not a runner, it definitely made me want to go just like on runs with him in the morning just to like be a part of that. I never did though.
I slugged.
I'm still in my break from running. It's been like 3 decades. Years now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been 3 years now. I have some time left before I get back into it.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, let's wrap this up. Just give me one or two of the most like bizarre things that you encountered on this trip.
Well, I think the number one most bizarre thing I think I encountered on this trip was durian.
Okay.
In my opinion. I know we just talked about it in this episode, but it, talk about something unexpected that you don't expect to run into is the smelliest fruit of all time. You know, it's unexpected. Do you want to take one while I think about it?
Yeah, I was thinking of like some of the street food or like eating baby squid in Seoul. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought these were noodles and they were baby squid. Mm-hmm. They're little chewy, mushy. You know, they were very strange. You know, seeing some of the street market food, like, you know, deboned chicken claws in Seoul, you know, they were selling, or, you know, but eating things like the scallion pancakes in Taipei, which were really good, you know, and just, yeah, I'm thinking of that daikon radish that I ate on the subway there too, but that was a whole nother story we talked about earlier. But yeah, just some things that are just so wacko out there.
Yeah, and you know, I love the wacko stuff. I love the big radishes. I love the weird street food.
Yeah.
The stuff that sticks with me is, it is wacko to me, but I think that's part of the beauty about traveling. Maybe it wasn't as wacko to you, but it was being sat by a robot at a restaurant
right
in Japan, and then ordering on tablets in Japan and having a robot bring you your food.
Yeah.
You know, and right. stuff like that that doesn't feel far away. You know, it doesn't feel like,
right.
it doesn't feel like, wow, why don't we have that in the US? It doesn't feel more technologically advanced than we are. It's just like different. You know, it's mm-hmm. like they just are doing things different than we can. And things like that, things like the vending machine having hot things in them.
Right.
You know, like just little details like that where I'm like, wow, I would never even think about doing that. I never thought about a vending machine putting out something hot. You yeah. know?
You know, I had a flashback when I was in Minnesota this past weekend, where I went and I just used a bathroom in the airport, and the brand name on the toilet, on the urinal there, was Toto.
Mm.
Well, we saw those all over Japan, you know, or mm. a lot in Asia. And I was thinking about those weird toilets they had there with, you know, the buttons on there and the bidet and the seats that heated up. And mm-hmm. it was like, okay, that is just like so different. I mean, one hand is like, that's brilliant. Why don't we have that?
That's what you I'm know? Saying. There were so many aha moments while we were in Asia.
Right.
Just like, why do we not, why don't we do this? You know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about. And that, but that's just all part of the showing up, you know?
Right.
When we showed up in Japan, and I'm trying to keep this as short as possible. I know we're trying to wrap this up. But when we showed up in Japan, I didn't do any research on right. anything,
yeah.
you know? And part of me when I was showing up was like, oh, no. And getting from the airport in Japan to our hotel was like really hard at the very beginning. But once we got there, the next morning I was like, oh, I really need to shower. It's a shower room.
Yeah.
It's like a whole room. And I was like, how do I turn this thing on? I was like flipping everything. And like, it was just, you know, it was such an adventure to like click on the wall. And I don't know, yeah. you know, like who knows? Like I had no clue any right. of that stuff was going to happen. It's my favorite part of it though. My favorite part of it is to be able to come talk about the shower room and the toilets and the this and the that and the durian and everything that I just had no clue about.
Yeah.
So, you know, do some research on what you want to see when you're there. Do some research on the landmarks. I'm not saying don't do any tours, because I think tours can be really informational and awesome and you can learn yeah. a lot, but do your research on that kind of stuff, but leave some surprises for yourself, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Leave some unknown, leave some mystery. That way when you get there and you see the durian, you're not like, oh yeah, that smells awful. I knew that was going to smell awful.
Right.
You know, like let yourself be a little surprised sometimes. And that's what I plan to do. Especially after the Asia trip. The Asia trip really, really showed me that not knowing there's hot things coming out of the vending machine is the best way to do it. That was just so funny.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. And it was really good corn chowder, by the way. Mm-hmm. I still have that can.
Well, I would get like hot coffees in cans out of the vending machine. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I mean, it was just awesome.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing was just really cool. I think that Asia... And I've been to just South America, a couple of countries in Europe, a bunch of countries. I think Asia really just is the best.
Yeah.
It's the perfect blend of like, what is this? And also, and I'm not saying South America feels third worldy, but it feels like they're lacking behind what we are a little bit. It feels like they're not doing things any different, I should say.
Yeah.
Whereas Asia was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is the same but different.
Sure.
And that was awesome. So if you're going to go anywhere, if you haven't been out of the US before, go to Asia.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's why I made the point before. It's really first world. It's just so different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and likewise, I didn't do any research ahead of time. I mean, literally, every time we got on a plane, I downloaded the TripAdvisor and was just reading through things that we might want to go do. And, you know, I mean, Japan's got so much. I mean, I was just blown away that they had an Eiffel Tower, you know, basically. It's an exact replica of the Eiffel Tower. It's called the Tokyo Tower, but it was like 1 meter tall or something.
Yeah.
And they had a Statue of Liberty there, of all freaking things. It's like,
yeah.
I had no idea there were multiple Statue of Liberties around the world. And I thought, we had it.
Yeah, seeing the Statue of Liberty out of nowhere was pretty weird.
Yeah.
And it's just like that little tiny story of like how we even saw the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Like we didn't know it was even there. So how many things had to go right for us to end up where we did to see the Statue of Liberty?
Right.
I mean, it just is unfathomable how lucky we are to even have seen it. with how much stuff we could have done in Tokyo. So, yeah. And that just shows how much stuff we missed in Tokyo and like, you know, how much there is to see everywhere.
Yep.
So you just can't do it all ever. And, just do what you can and just enjoy the journey. It was so awesome.
All right. Well, let's hop off the plane here, so to speak. And thank you so much for sharing all these memories here with me, Jack.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was really fun over the 6 months it's been. But
yeah, nope. But I hope everybody got a lot out of this and get on out there. I hope you were inspired enough to want to go out on your own travel adventure somewhere in the world. And by the way, just to answer our Singapore Transit question, is that when I didn't check out on their public bus, you know, you kind of used your credit card to get on and off the bus, but when I didn't check out, I got charged Singapore dollars, $6.29, which is the equivalent of about US $4.66, which I guess is probably the fare if I'd ridden all the way to the end of the line instead of getting off when I did. So, oh well, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is kind of funny. So thanks again to all of you for listening to the We Are Supermen podcast. Really appreciate your sticking with this podcast over the years. It's greatly appreciated. So make sure you subscribe so you can get all new episodes onto your phone. And if you enjoyed the podcast, the best thing you can do, share it with your friends or on social media. And please do me a favor if you can. Take 60 seconds and give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform on which you listen to us. I would also be humbly honored if you would write a review as well. These 5-star ratings and reviews really do help us make more episodes and rise higher in the podcast services search algorithms, helping more people find our show. Until next time, always be positive.